This is The Book in the Spade, a report on the latest discoveries and developments in biblical archaeology. Here's your host, Gordon Govier.
Biblical archaeology has its controversies. Just a few years ago, it was all about fake versions of the Dead Sea Scrolls. One of the other big controversies of the 21st century involves the James Ossuary. Ossuaries were commonly used in Jewish burials in the first century, the time of Jesus. And when a collector realized he had an ossuary with the inscription James, the son of Joseph, the brother of Jesus, that could be a tangible connection to Jesus Christ, it generated a lot of news, especially when the Israel Antiquities Authority claimed that it was a fake. Not the ossuary itself, that seemed genuine, but an official investigation raised significant questions about the inscription. A close inspection of the patina, the weathering of the inscription, suggested it may have been added later. Charges were filed, and a court case resulted, which lasted for 7 years. In the end, the authorities failed to prove their case. The ossuary was sent back to its owner, and that was that. It's not in a museum. Maybe it's too controversial. There's a cloud hanging over it. But as we started a conversation in our last program with Brian Windle, he thought the James Ossuary deserved a second look. So recently, on his website, BibleArchaeologyReport.com, he reviewed all of the evidence, pro and con, on the James Ossuary.
Well, I decided to take a look at it because there were some scholars who I respect a lot who were suggesting that it may indeed be authentic, and especially since the trial resulted in an acquittal on the charge of forgery. And if you read some of the transcripts from the trial, you see that the kind of the star witnesses for the Israel Antiquities Authority just crumbled under cross-examination when it comes to whether it was forged or not. And so people like Craig Evans, for example, Dr. Craig Evans, believes that it's authentic. And so I wanted to take another look at the evidence both for and against and see if I could make sense for myself whether this first of all, was authentic, and second of all, and perhaps the bigger question, whether it applies to James, the son of Joseph, brother of Jesus, that we read about in the New Testament.
So this ossuary, people were watching the news coverage over the years. There was significant questions raised, but when you look at the evidence, as you've done here, it seems pretty authentic then.
It doesn't. To me, I think the two biggest pieces of evidence for me, one is direct evidence, that the other is the indirect. The direct evidence is that ancient patina has been found in all five of the words on the inscription. And this was demonstrated by a 2014 article that was published in the Open Journal of Geology. And one of the reasons that I decided to write my article on it was that what most people know about the James Ossuary is fairly outdated information, or it comes from Wikipedia, which is just not a very reliable source of information to begin with. And so I wanted to do the research and footnote it and show them. And this article that was written in the Open Journal of Geology showed that there was clearly patina inside all of the letters of all of the words of the inscription. So the entire inscription, it implies, is authentic. So that to me was fairly powerful testimony, the direct evidence. And then there was the indirect evidence. And that's the fact that the owner, Oded Galan, had it and didn't understand the significance of it, did not make money from this. People say, oh, he forged it so he could sell it for millions. Well, he hasn't. In fact, had it for decades and decades, didn't even realize the importance of it. And so on the balance of probability, I would say that the James Ossuary, the inscription, is authentic. I would say that very confidently, that it's an authentic inscription. The question is, does it belong to James, the son of Joseph, the brother of Jesus from the New Testament, or to another James, the son of Joseph, brother of Jesus, because all three of those names were very popular in the first century?
That is a separate issue, and I guess you have to look at the probabilities. Maybe that's a math question to address that issue.
Yeah, and some people have tried to do probability of math. Here's where I land on it. I think on the balance of probability, it likely, and we can't say with certainty, this was not found in a licensed, controlled archaeological dig. So we don't have the context for where it actually came from. There have been a couple of suggestions. But what we can say is that it once contained, I believe, the bones of James, the son of Joseph, brother of Jesus. Who was that? There is only one other ossuary that we know of that has the identifier brother of. It, that too, dates to the first century.
That wasn't a common way of describing the deceased. Usually it was some other, it was less of a description that way. Usually it's the parent, the heritage, and not the brother that would be put as an inscription on an ossuary.
Exactly. And this other ossuary has the phrase, Shimi, son of Asiah, brother of Hanan. And Craig Evans suggests that this Hanan was possibly the well-known Hanan whose sons were known for supplying Jerusalem with sacrificial animals. And so the deceased added brother of because the brother was very famous. If that is the case, then this would certainly fit. James would be identified by his more famous brother. In fact, Josephus does that. Josephus describes James as the brother of Jesus, who was called the Christ. So we know from another ancient source that James was identified as the brother of Jesus. So this seems to imply that whoever this James was, he had a really famous brother named Jesus, and that would seem to fit. So I would say on the balance of probability, that it likely is the ossuary of James, the brother of Jesus from the New Testament. But I can't say that with certainty because we don't have the context from where it came from.
If you've just tuned in, we're talking with Brian Windle about a reevaluation that appeared on his website, BibleArchaeologyReport.com. That reevaluation concerns an archaeological treasure that surfaced just over two decades ago and soon became embroiled in controversy, an ossuary, which is a 2,000-year-old stone box that just may have held the bones of James, the brother of Jesus of Nazareth. James was not a follower of Jesus until after his resurrection, and then was one of the first Christian martyrs.
He was one of the early Christian martyrs. He was killed in Jerusalem. His death is often attributed to the southeastern corner of the Temple Mount, where he was thrown off. Some people say he was buried there. And there is an ancient reference to a burial marker of James. And so some would look at that and say, well, that seems to be a trench tomb then that would have a burial marker, not a rock cut tomb where ossuaries were kept. Although scholar Jerome Murphy O'Connor doesn't see a problem with that. And he has said that he has questioned, he said, might James's bones have been laid to rest in an ossuary buried near the grave marker at the southeast corner of the Temple Mount? Perhaps. The evidence certainly does not preclude the possibility. If so, the possibility is that the James, son of Joseph, brother of Jesus ossuary surfaced during Benjamin Mazar's excavations along the southern Temple Mount wall earlier this century and was removed by looters. That's just a theory. He doesn't know that. But, and again, we're talking about probabilities, right? We can't talk about certainties. There are possibilities. The ancient testimony is that James was killed near the southeastern corner of the Temple Mount. And we do know that there are first century tombs there. And so perhaps the ossuary came from one of those tombs.
So the James ossuary has a big question mark associated with it in terms of public understanding, but a careful look of the evidence indicates that there is a likelihood, a probability that it may be authentic. The authentic ossuary that it was believed to be when the news first came out two decades ago.
I think so. And the fact that it is back in the possession of the person of the owner means that new studies can be done on it. There was a study, another study done in 2019 that suggested that the patina or some of the dirt and the remains in it was similar or most similar to the other ossuaries from the Talpiot tomb. But of course, some of the problems with that are that the Talpiot tomb wasn't discovered until 1980, and it appears that the James ossuary was already in the possession of Oded Golan in the 1970s. And there were only 10 ossuaries in that tomb. We know where nine are, and the James ossuary does not fit the description of the one missing ossuary. And so people have to come up with all sorts of theories about maybe an 11th one that was looted before the tomb was found. And I do question the sample size of that particular study. And so the good news, though, all this to say, is that there may be future studies which will give us more information, especially now that it is back with the owner.
So people keep looking at this issue. Maybe more evidence will come out, more confidence in its authenticity. I guess we'll just have to wait and see. And when we talked about this briefly during our 40-year anniversary program with Scott Stripling, he said that if it is authentic, and much like the Shroud of Turin, it would be one of the most amazing artifacts of the Christian first century. That connects us directly with the story of Jesus in the Gospels.
Exactly. In fact, I did a top 10 list of archaeological discoveries related to Jesus, and I initially left the James ossuary off. I hadn't studied it enough to have made my own conclusions. Having studied it now and come to at least my own conclusion that I think that it is likely the ossuary of James, the son of Joseph, the brother of Jesus of Nazareth, I'm going to include it now into my top 10 list. The problem is, what do I take off that list? And that's there are just so many archaeological discoveries that affirm elements of Jesus' life as recorded in the Gospels. It's just a hard one to do, but I think this really does need to be on because it is a significant discovery.
Well, I think we will probably come back to this issue perhaps in the future, since it doesn't seem to be going away. We'll just keep watching for more updates on news of the James ossuary. My thanks to you, Brian Wendell, for joining us on today's program. Brian is a pastor and is also involved with archaeology. He works with Associates for Biblical Research and has a website, BibleArchaeologyReport.com. We'll link to that website on our website, radioscribe.com. We'd like to remind our listeners we have a quarterly news magazine of biblical archaeology called Artifacts. You can find out more information about artifacts and our upcoming Israel tour on our website as well. We'll be taking a group back to Israel in November of 2024. And you can find more information on our website at radioscribe.com. I'm Gordon Govier, inviting you to join us again next time for more backgrounders on the Bible through biblical archaeology on The Book and the Spade.
The Book and the Spade is produced by Scribe Media. For information on biblical archaeology resources or obtaining a copy of this program on CD, go to our website at radioscribe.com.